Hi, I'm Travis Baldry. You might recognize me from the books Legends and Lattes and Bookshops and Bone Dust, and I've got another on the way, Brigands and Bread Knives. Fern, a seasoned bookseller, hopes that setting up a new shop next to an old friend's coffee shop will cure her crippling ennui, but things take a turn when a desperate night leads her to wake up far from home in the company of a legendary warrior, an imprisoned chaos goblin, and a terrible hangover. Find Brigands and Bread Knives wherever you get your audiobooks.
Football on Off the Ball.
And if we do that, I believe this team will go down as one of the greatest teams.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Ali Elliott, thanks so much for having a chat with us.
Thank you.
How are you getting on?
Yeah, really good, thank you.
Just wanted to maybe chat about the competition you had in the Mourns. You came first, national championships. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. that was actually my first national title. It was my only Olympic distance race this year. Big shock to the system because I normally do draft legal and that was non-drafting. And it was really hilly.
Yeah, so it was in the Mourne Mountains, like?
Yeah, it was Ross Trevor Forest Park, maybe, where the swim was and transition. And then the course was actually changed like 2 days before the actual race because there was a road closure. So it went from hilly to even more hilly. So I had like no idea what to expect, but can confirm it was hilly.
Good to get a win there though.
Yeah, for sure. It was kind of in like a bit of a break from the World Triathlon season. So it just fit perfectly.
And the World Triathlon season then, was it, you made your debut at the elite events in, was that the French Riviera?
Yeah, French Riviera was my first World Series race, which was a big step up. I was actually a little bit sick heading into the race, which was really annoying because, I mean, no one wants to make the debut at the level above when they're not fully fit. But there was lots of learnings from that. So I'll try and look positively on it.
And do those World Triathlon Series events, so do they give you points that you're kind of working off? And is that all leading up to LA, or is how would it work?
Yeah, so LA qualification opens in May or June next year.
Okay.
So races now are contributing to my world ranking. Which allows you to kind of access more races for the qualification period. So you kind of want to be positioned well heading into the period and then keep racing well when you're in it to be ranked highly heading into the games, yeah.
Perfect. But you've had a great summer though. You've had a good few successes, you know, some great results.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed this year actually. There's been a lot of changes. Like I moved down to Limerick for they opened the National Triathlon Centre down there.
Okay.
The first like national centre in Ireland. So
cool.
Yeah, it's been a lot of movement and not really stability, but we've kind of made the best of it. So I've still performed to I always want more, but an okay level this year off the back of that. I'm kind of really looking forward to being stable and building on that next year.
What does the National Triathlon Centre entail of? So what's in there?
It's based at UL.
Because
obviously we've got like the pool and the gym and the all the pitches, and you got all the rugby guys running around the pitches and we're running around the outsides. The facilities are great. And there's just a group of guys down there who, a lot of them are juniors, but that's kind of perfect for me because a junior boy is perfect for like a senior girl. So I'm just chasing them around the pitches and in the pool. It's a small group, but there's a nice group. And they're all just really eager because they're like 18, 19, the first time away from home for uni. And they're like, yeah, let's train. So I'm like, yeah, it's been perfect for me, really.
We were chatting before about how triathlon maybe doesn't have as much of a name as maybe some of the other Olympic sports. How did you fall into it?
So I was a swimmer from like six. My sister's 4 years older than me and she would love to be like, Holly just copied whatever I did. She swam, so I swam, and then I had to do better than her, so she quit and I didn't. shout out to Abby. I ran cross country for school. I think just by being fit from swimming, I was kind of good at school level for running. And then I had a friend who I swam with who did triathlon, and it was kind of like the age of like 15 maybe, when your friends are doing cool things outside of school, and I'm like, I'm going swimming again. Like, I don't know, I guess you make a decision like, do you want to commit to sport or do you want to like quit? I guess a lot of girls leave sport at that age. So triathlon for me was kind of I wasn't quitting swimming. It was like a compromise of like, well, okay, you have this evening free now because you've run after school and you don't have to go to swim club. It was, and I just loved it. Like, I still loved sport, but I probably had a bit of FOMO of like, my friends are going out and doing this. And I was quite good at swimming and running, like, especially at that age. And it was just a new challenge for me. So yeah, I think once I transitioned from swimming to triathlon, I never even considered quitting. Like, and now here I am, and everyone's like, how long is this going to go on for? When are you getting a proper job? And I'm like, no, I'm doing sport. Why not?
Yeah, so how long after you made the transition into triathlon at the start, was that just kind of a casual thing? Or was it elite pretty much straight away?
So I mean, you always think you're elite when you're, I don't know, I look back at me at 50 and think like, you obviously weren't, but like, you obviously always want to win. You always want to be at the next level. You always want to do well. I kind of got thrown straight into like a national level racing in triathlon, which at the time felt like, oh, this is it. Like, if you win one of these, like, you're gonna make it. So yeah, it was elite but relaxed. I think it really picked up when I went to uni. I went to uni in Leeds, and there was a really big triathlon group there. So it's obviously good, like I say, we've got the National Centre now in Limerick. Like, Leeds was like a leading big centre with like so many athletes, like Limerick times 10 basically.
It's a real sporting college,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's like really grown from there. And that was where I went, and I was like, okay, obviously I did a law degree, like I still want to do my education properly, but like I really do want to commit to like sport.
So you're a full-time athlete at the moment?
I am now, yeah.
Brilliant. Are you loving that life?
Yeah, I am. I worked alongside school and then worked alongside uni, and I always had like some kind of education, some work and sport going on, and I was always like, oh, if I could just be, I don't know, more recovered on this day or didn't have to shuffle shifts around on this. I do actually slightly miss having like something like uni on the side as just like a distraction, but then also like when I actually had it, I'd be like, no, like it's obviously, I am in a privileged position to be able to do sport full time, like, and I do really acknowledge that. Like, when I was on the other side, I was like, would have done anything to be finished with uni and finished with work so that I could fully commit to sport. So I really can't complain.
What? I'm going to get you to complain straight away. But what do you think is the biggest challenge of being a full time athlete? Is it not having that distraction?
So for me, like, I actually really struggled because as soon as I quit my part-time job and I'd finished uni, I put so much pressure on myself that this is what you do now, so you've got no excuses. Like, if you don't go and perform in this race, like, well, why not? Because you, like, previously, like, oh, if I didn't perform in that race, yeah, but I'm busy with uni, or I don't know, I'm doing a law degree. Like, it's not even related to sport. Like, I just do sport on the side. Like, now I'm telling everyone, I do sport and that is pretty much all I do right now. If it doesn't go well, I'm like, why not? Like, I'm my biggest critic. Like, of course I am, like most people are, but yeah, that's what I really struggled with, transitioning from having so much going on to actually not having that much going on and being like, why aren't I just amazing now? Yeah, and I think it is sometimes just like the other stuff was a bit of an outlet, and like, I mean, triathlon is a big part of my life, but it's not my life. And when you have other things going on, like, it does stop you thinking about, I don't know, a bad session or a race coming up, or
is there
just
something,
stress and pressure, like, you can just, I know you're doing something else, but you're switching off from that. I guess I don't have that anymore.
Yeah, is there anything that you try and use now as a bit of an outlet from training?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, triathlon is a big part of my life, it's not my life, so like, I do love to say yes to going to a event or friends, or my sister's actually just had a baby like a year ago, so I love going and visiting him at home, even if I guess this year it hasn't really been the best timing to go and visit home, but I'm like, I don't know, like mid-season I just needed like a reset and a go and play with Joey and like have some fun, I guess, and just use it as an outlet.
Absolutely.
Because I think in the long run, like, yeah, for that week it maybe wasn't the best for my training, but for like the season's long, it's February to November, like I really don't think I'd be sat here saying I fly to Japan on Monday if I hadn't had a reset in the middle of the season, because I'd just be exhausted. So yeah, I try and use it, I guess.
And flying to Japan, so on Monday, that's Miyazaki.
Yeah, Miyazaki, yeah.
That's a sprint or a full?
A sprint, yeah. Sprint, yeah. World Cup. And then I've got Tongyeong in South Korea the week after.
Have you been training for the different climates there now? Because I assume it's completely different over there at this time of the year, is it?
Yeah, it'll be nicer than here anyway.
Yeah, that'll
I don't
be
think it's difficult, no. Yeah, I've done these races twice before, and they've both been warm, but never anything crazy. Actually, once Korea was like really cold. Oh. I think it was just because it was early in the morning, but no, I've not really done specifics. I think if it was like a severe, like really big, like obviously it is a big difference, but like a really hot, humid race, like I would do some prep, but I actually kind of, I think at this point of the season, like the benefits I would get from a heat prep is like mentally a bit draining.
Yeah.
So like the performance benefits I'd get would probably be negated by the fact that I'm like lost a bit of motivation at this point of the year.
Yeah.
To sit on a turbo in a heat chamber, like I just want to get outside and ride my bike.
Yeah. Yeah, so it brings me to the next question. Is there one of the three that's your favorite to do?
Yes, but if you ask me like tomorrow, it'll be a different answer.
Okay.
So I mean, obviously everyone likes it when it's going well. So I come from a swim background. Swimming was always my classic answer when people would say, what's your best or what's your favorite? It would always be swimming because it was just easy for me to say that. Sometimes I hate swimming. Like you getting up at like 5 o'clock in the morning and it's raining and you just think, if I was just a runner, I'd just run at like 4 p.m. or I'd just, yeah. I mean, I love them all. I actually do. But there's days where it's raining outside and I'm like, the last thing I want to do now is ride my bike for 4 hours. Like, maybe if I was just a swimmer and I never have to go outside, that would be great. Like, yeah, it's...
Do you find the swimming easiest because of your background?
At times, yes. So, like, people talk about, like, a flow, like, easy state. Like, I never get that in cycling or running. Like, okay. I rarely get it in swimming, but I have, like, gone through phases of that in swimming where, like, it's just easy.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, like, this is really good. If you ask me on that week, swimming's my favourite.
Yeah.
But similarly, like, yeah, I think with the three sports, they're so different and they are kind of mismatched. I don't really know who put them together in a triathlon, but someone did. Yeah, I think it's really difficult to be really good at all three at the same time. Like, obviously people do it, but...
Yeah, so how do you do that with your training? Do you take blocks of, like, now it's bike, now it's swimming, now it's running, or are you constantly training all three?
Yeah, kind of constantly all three. I mean, you can do a bit of a run focus block or a swim focus block. So, like heading into the winter is kind of the time you would make a change, because in the summer you need to be good at all three because you're racing.
Yeah.
So in the winter, like this winter, I'm going to have a real focus on like strength, like generally, which is mainly around my biking, but I think will actually help my running in turn as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are people who will do like a, like say for example now, like they'll have finished their triathlon season and they'll do a cross country season.
Okay.
So they'll drop the swimming and biking like almost completely and they'll just be running.
Do you ever do that?
I would love to do that, but yeah, I'm just racing too late.
Yeah.
It was kind of my plan this year initially, but then a few things changed around and suddenly I'm off to Japan. So this was my plan to be finished in October, have a break and keep running for cross season. Yeah, maybe next year.
And are you ever tempted to completely specialise, like go back to swimming, or do you love the aspect of the tree?
I could never go back to swimming. Yeah. Like I say, on the wintry days, you think swimming's inside, like, yeah, I'll just be a swimmer. But like, I mean, I'm nowhere near the level of a swimmer mm-hmm. anymore.
Okay.
So like I think it's easy to underestimate, like we are good at swim, bike, run, and obviously you need to be close to the swimmers, the cyclists and the runners, but like to jump back into just one of them, like you would have to have like a severe, like super strength in that swimming.
Okay.
Which I do not have. Like very few people would be able to like compete with the top of the sport in that sport.
I suppose you're only giving it a third, probably a third
of
your
time. Yeah, exactly, for sure. Yeah, so I might run 60k a week. Like, speak to a runner, they'll be running like 100. Like, that's a lot more than what I'm doing, but I'm getting the strength and endurance from like the other ones. So like, there's a bit of a change, but no, there's just too much that I love and hate about each one.
Yeah.
So like, I'll never stop swimming, but I can't drag myself to the pool 10 times a week anymore like I did when I was 12.
Yeah.
I say I drag myself. Thanks, Dad, for getting up at 5. He came. I wasn't driving. So yeah, I love running, but then it's like, could I do 100k a week? Like, I'm not probably conditioned for that. Like, it would take a lot to even just build into that. Cycling, I'd love it in the summer and hate it in the winter. Like, I think the fact that they are so different, and I do enjoy them all and also hate things about all of them, it balances it out throughout the year. I don't think I'd specialise.
In a lot of sports, you hear people talking about like getting the 1% out of their training.
Mm-hmm.
Something interesting about the triathlon is like the transitions. Is that something that is a huge focus for you, where you can lose a lot of time? Like, I'm thinking F1 in my head, cars going into the pit. Do you approach it like that?
I personally don't. Someone might tell me I should. I think it depends on the type of racing you're doing. So when you're kind of like a youth and junior, like coming into the sport, they'll do, you might have a day where you'll do a bike ride and then you'll do an hour of transition practice. Like, I personally never do any of that anymore. Like, I did when I was younger.
Okay.
I actually kind of think, to an extent, the more I overthink it, the worse it is.
Yeah.
So it'll come to like the first race of the season and some people might do a quick transition practice. I actually just leave it. I'm like, the first race, I'll just remember what it, like, I've done it that many times, I think I'll come to transition and I'll know what I should do.
Yeah.
There are obviously like seconds to be gained and lost and fine margins, but I think I've got bigger margins to find in the swim, bike and run before I then look for them tiny margins, I guess, in transitions.
Yeah, amazing. And Dublin Marathon was on at the weekend and it's all like record numbers. We see so many more people running in run clubs and so many more people kind of going swimming in the sea since COVID. Do you think eventually that'll lead to more interest in the likes of triathlon? People are getting more active?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, Triathlon Ireland has a huge like age group community.
Mm-hmm.
So I always talk about Triathlon Ireland being a small federation, and it is, but in terms of high performance section, but the age group community is actually huge and like especially proportional to like the size of the country.
Yeah.
So I think so many people, it is becoming a bit of like, people run a marathon, people do a triathlon. And I mean, that's great. Like, obviously the more people that become aware of the sport, that's great. I think there is a gap between, I guess, knowing what like age group triathlon is and elite triathlon. Like, I've had conversations before where someone's like, oh, my friend's going to Worlds. And I'm like, oh, great, who are they? And I'm like, okay, like, there is like a mix of like a world champs for age group and a world champs for elite. Like, it is hard
like
to...
Like the marathon.
Yeah, for sure. But it's obviously great to get participation. The people who go in the sea, like, nowadays, like, they're crazy. Like,
you're not training in the sea?
I stood outside for like 5 minutes before and I'm still cold. Like,
are you not training in the sea so during the winter?
Yeah, for like... No, not during the winter, no.
No, okay. For, like,
no, I think that's why like racing kind of stops, because like you can't hold the race because it's too cold.
Okay, so you're never going to be in the position where you're racing when
in
it's
December, January. No, like racing in Ireland starts again in like May because it's like so cold. We'll do like open water training in like June, July, August, and then it's like, okay, we're getting a bit cold now, back in the pool. Yeah, no, for sure. Like, people who are like dipping in there without wetsuits on, like, they're gonna be, fair enough, they're crazy. Like, you will not find me in there.
fair enough. Yeah, respect to them. I suppose, like, final question, Holly. LA, it's where we are here, we're hearing all the updates on all the athletes. That's the end goal.
Yeah.
Sorry, just teasing. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure, that's the end goal. That's like everything that I'm, like, all my decisions are based on that now. what races I choose next year, obviously within the Olympic qualification period, is like a big decision now. I guess you got to make each race count for the ranking, for the points, for, yeah. So yeah, everything's geared to LA now.
Excellent. I think we're